Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 26, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 26, and whoever is supposed to mind the Lord, you'll probably just have to endure the message, I guess, this morning. Matthew 26, the Lord's been dealing my heart about this all week, been meditating on it, been chewing on it. The Lord's been giving me some things to challenge your heart with. May possibly preach on it both services today. Matthew 26, and I'm going to read about something I'm sure that most of us are familiar with, but I want to look at it maybe from a little different angle that the Lord would have us to look at, all right? In Matthew 26, we come out of the passage of Scripture that deals with the Mary, or the mother, or the lady with the alabaster box, which we know in John 12 was Mary, and in verse number 7, and there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and as he sat at meat, but when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. That is, they were much displeased. You'd think they would be on. They would think, "Man, this is great. Our Lord's being honored." But instead, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? What purpose is this waste? This loss? This ruin?" Verse 9. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, "What will you give me?" What a question. You need to underscore that. What will you give me? "And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. You can be seated. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, I ask you to help us now. Lord, I pray you'll get our attention. I pray that you will speak to us and through us, Lord. I pray you'll bring to my remembrance, Lord, things that you've shown me, Lord, in studying the Word of God and meditating in the Word of God. I pray that you will, Lord, bring those things to my attention and help me to convey that and communicate that to this congregation. Lord, that they can hear and heed and be helped, dear Lord, by the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'll add that special anointing to your Word and to your sermon, Lord, that makes preaching effective. We pray you'll cleanse us, God, from anything and everything, Lord, that would grieve or quench the Holy Spirit of God. Your will be done, and we'll give you thanks and praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, there in chapter 26, verse number 14 and 15, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, 'What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you.'" What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. Talking about Jesus. What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. What a statement. And of course, they covenanted with him. Mark's account says they promised him. Luke's account said they promised him money. So they here covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. I want to preach this morning, and I'm pretty certain I won't get done, but I want to preach this morning, start on what is your price? What is your price? Now, I've preached on that, and I've said some things about Judas and his betrayal of the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, and I've made this statement that Judas sold Christ out for 30 pieces of silver. Was that really the price for the Savior? Was that really his price, or was that Judas's price? Was Judas selling out for 30 pieces of silver? No doubt that's what he was doing, and that's what I want to preach on. What is your price? What are you willing to trade Christ for, sell Christ out for? What are you willing to be sold out yourself for? And I think that it's very interesting that this comes right on the ending of the story of Mary and the alabaster box. And John chapter 12, you can turn there and read it sometime when you get home this evening. And it said there in verse 3 that then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, it wasn't all of them, then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Verse 6, then he said, not that he cared for the poor. He wasn't saying that because he cared for the poor. The Bible reveals that motive. That it was not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and held and had the bag. He was the treasure among the disciples. And the Bible shows us very plainly what his intent was. He had intent as being a thief, and holding the bag, he intended on stealing that money. If she would have sold that very costly ointment, he had intentions on self-promotion and self-benefit. And usually behind you selling out is a real love for self, isn't it? I mean, you selling Christ out for such a cheap thing, really self is behind that. Self-glory, self-promotion, self-advancement is really behind that. But I thought it was interesting. Here a woman is given basically everything that she had. That ointment was worth a 1 year's wage. She gave what would cost 1 year of labor to purchase or to obtain. But yet Judas was criticizing her. Judas was setting up, looking at her, and making criticism about her gift. Oh, this is a waste. I can't believe that she's doing this. What a waste, you know? This should have been sold and give to the poor. Of course, thank God for John's account of it, revealing that it wasn't a care for the poor. It was a care for his own pocket. Hello, amen. And we find here that he went from criticizing her to taking a gift of 30 pieces of silver. He made fun of her, but then he did worse. He did worse. Well, if we're not careful, we'll do that, won't we? And there's two ways of looking at this, 30 pieces of silver. One way is that you can deal with it prophetically. The 30 pieces of silver is talked about in the book of Zechariah, chapter number 11, verse number 12 and 13. So this event right here is not any surprise to God. Jesus being betrayed for 30 pieces of silver was foretold even in the book of Zechariah chapter 11. Are you listening? You can look at it prophetically. You can look at it prophetically. And I think this is worth noting, just a side note here, that you can go back to the book of Exodus chapter 21 and verse number 32, and you can find out that the price of a maid servant was 30 pieces of silver. A maid servant. You could say in light of that, a maid, a woman, and ladies, your price is 30 pieces of silver. And if you look at the men's servant, it's far less. So I hate to say it, but men are far less valuable than women. But now that was under the law, praise God. We're far advanced than that now, amen. But you could say in light of that Exodus passage that 30 pieces of silver was the price of a maidservant, that Jesus was sold for the price of a bride. That's good, ain't it? Prophetically. You could look at it prophetically. But I want to look at it on another direction. I want to look at it practically. Here is a real man selling out a real Savior for real money, 30 pieces of silver. But I ask you again, was that his price or was that the Savior's price? Prophetically, it was the Savior's price, we know. But practically, it was Judas's price. Judas was willing to be sold out for that cheap 30 pieces of silver. 5 weeks' wages, depending on what kind of a coin it was, you know, in the scripture, depending on how much value with it. But it could have been as little as 5 weeks' wages that he sold out. Here Mary gave what was a year's wages to honor the Lord. And here Judas sells out himself for only 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. Amen. What's your price today? What's your price today? And I wrote this down. Jesus can only be sold out when you are bought out. Jesus will never be sold out to this world until somebody gets bought out by this world. Or somebody gets paid off by this world. Somebody willing to trade, willing to swap the Savior that is priceless for some cheap things. And how many people are doing that even now? Trading cheap things for the Lord. But I want you to know today, Jesus didn't have a price. I'm just giving you some ideas and some thoughts the Lord gave me. Jesus did not have a price and does not have a price. Therefore, he cannot be bought. Therefore, he cannot be sold. Because he does not have a price. The reason Jesus himself did not have a price helped him to stay true to God through all of the trials and persecution. When all of the efforts were being made from humanity and from the religious world to get Jesus to catch him in a lie, he didn't have a price. So he was not tempted to compromise. Do you have a price? If you have a price, I promise you somebody will pay that price. Somebody will put whatever you want, whatever you're asking for you to turn your back away from the things of God, that I promise you they'll put the price on the table. So what is your price today? I can't believe Judas betrayed the Lord for such a cheap wage. But people in church are trading and betraying the Lord, handing him over to the world, amen, for such a cheap experience, a cheap price, a cheap thrill. I want us to look at some things. If you're taking notes, I want you to note, first of all, the partners to your price. The partners or relationships to your price. Look again in our text verse in Matthew 26 in verse number 15. The Bible says, And he asked them, now he's taking the initiative, and he said, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they, the partners, they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. That word covenanted means to cause or make to stand. To stand with, to cause a person to keep his or its place. Now, did you get that? Here are some partners that went into partnership with him over 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord. And when they covenanted with him, they locked him in to the deal. Oh, my goodness. When they covenanted with him, they made a promise to him, and he, Judas, made a promise to them. Well, I want to tell you, if you're willing to have a price put on your life, on your soul, on your spiritual life, there'll be somebody that'll get in a promise with you. There'll be a relationship coming to your life that will make you feel the pressure of carrying it out. If he had a notion, there's no indication of it, but had he had a notion that, well, maybe I made a mistake, maybe I shouldn't go through with this, they would say, well, hey, you promised. You covenanted. Amen. I'm talking about the partners of partners to your prize. Your prize will always come with partnership, attachments, obligation, agreements. Where you're saying, I will, and your partners will say, I will. Do you know people today? I do. They're limited in their serving God because of relationships. They're limited in what they're going to be able to do for God because they got in a covenant relationship with someone that encourages their low level of spiritual life. 30 pieces of silver, the chief priest of all people, religious, should have said, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Are you willing to sell out the Lord? Are you willing to do that for such a cheap wage? But rather, the book of John says they were glad. I mean, not John, but Luke said they were glad about it. When they heard that we've got somebody that's going to sell the Lord out for such a cheap wage, that religious crowd liked it. That crowd of the world liked it. The partners of your prize. They'll stand with you on it. They'll stand with you. They'll stand behind you on it. They'll make you stand. They'll make you and force you to keep your end of the bargain. Isn't that right? That's why you need to be careful who your friends are. Amen. If you've got a friend that will encourage your sorry Christianity and your sorry spiritual life, you need to dump them, or they need to dump you, or both. Amen. One of the worst things you can do is partner up with somebody that has a very low esteem for Jesus. Judas, my friend, made partnership with a crowd that didn't think much at all about Jesus. And I'm amazed, still amazed, been saved 32 years, and I'm still amazed at how many young people will partner up in friendship and association and courtship and all of that with people that cares very little to nothing about the Savior. Are you listening? Watch this. I just saw this. Judas, before he knew he could carry out his betrayal intentions, he knew that he was going to have to get away from the disciples. He knew he wasn't going to find no buddy-buddy system among the disciples that would cater to his betrayal intentions. He knew that he was going to have to go to that worldly crowd, amen, that cares nothing about the Savior. And listen, RBT, we ought to have such a standard. We ought to have such a spirituality. We ought to have such a fellowship with God that people knows that if they go here, they're not going to be able to backslide. They're going to have to get away from the disciples of Jesus here and go to the world's crowd and partner with that crowd. Amen. I'm not going to let you do it. I'm not going to make it easy for you to get out of church. I'm not going to make it easy for you to get cold. I'm not going to make it easy for you. No, no, no. I want it to be to the point you have to get away from me if you're going to backslide. I hope it's to the point that you feel, man, I'm going to have to get away from that preaching. I'm going to have to get away from Brother Rex. I want to get away from that RBT crowd. I'm going to have to get out of that Sunday school class. I'm going to have to get away from Mom and Dad before I can carry out my betrayal intentions. And I promise you, if you've got a price, the devil will furnish the partners. People that will agree with you. People that will go into the promise with you and will back and support your crazy ideas. Amen. I mean, it doesn't matter how far out in left field you are, or even if you're in the ballpark. There are a bunch of people that are in religious circles that will support you. Amen. Come as you are, live as you please, do as you please. Amen. Everything's fine. Everything's wonderful. Just to build a crowd, just to build a crowd, just to build a crowd. They'll invite every personality and every big name to come in and give their spiel. Hey, you think I'm going to sell out? You think I'm going to sell out the pulpit of RBT? You think I'm going to sell out your listening ear and put somebody in this pulpit that's catering to a low level of spiritual life? Negatory. Negatory. Amen. Negative. No, not so. Amen. I want to be a partner with you in righteousness. Amen. I want to be a partner with you. Amen. In living right and doing right. There's the partners of the price. And by the fact that Judas made a covenant with them showed that it was a matter of consent. He wasn't forced. He weren't made. He did so willingly and knowingly what he did. Amen. He knew right well what he did. There's a song, you know, they call it gospel singing, and everything gospel that they call gospel is not gospel. I mean, mothers teaching angels how to sing, they're in a verse of scripture. Nowhere in the world support that. Amen. You know, I'm sending up boards to help them build my mansion. That's about the most stupid thing I ever heard. Amen. I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain and I'm doing my best to make it in. That's not gospel. That's not the scripture. That's not the word of God. Amen. Anything to get a tear. Anything to stir up a little emotion, they'll hang gospel on it. And that one song says Judas didn't know. They made a whole song out of it. Judas didn't know. I tell you, Judas did know. Judas did know exactly what he was doing. He knew who Jesus was. Amen. He sat at the supper table with him and dipped in the same sop with him. Amen. He knew who he was. And he said, in fact, I'll tell you, I'll show you who he is. You just follow me. I'll take you to him. And the one that I kiss is the one. Arrest him and take him. Yeah, he knew. Amen. Judas wasn't forced. Judas wasn't made. Judas consented. And I want to tell you, all of us, me included, if we have a cheap price that we're willing to sell out with, I want to tell you, listen, it's going to be with our consent. Nobody gets out of church unless you consent to it. Nobody quits reading your Bible unless you consent to it. Nobody betrays the Lord unless you consent to it. Amen. So watch out for your partner, the partners of this relationship or this price. Listen to this. How many have coveted baggage in their life that encourages them to be for sale? That encourages them to feel bound to continue on with their price? Well, the devil wants to put that in your life. Associations, attachments. Things in your life that's going to make you feel bound and the pressure. You say, how do you know? How many times have people sat on pews of the service and God dealt with their heart? God dealt with their heart about getting saved. And you know what they had a battle with immediately? the baggage, the covenanted baggage, the partners, the friends, the associates, the relationships in their life. Is it a true friend that you would choose over the Savior? Is that a true friend? Is that a true friend that would encourage you to choose them and their lifestyle over the Savior? If you get saved and serve God, live for God and fill the Spirit of God, and your friends dump you, that shows you what they really are. Amen. And if you get to being what you're supposed to be, you won't have to dump too many of them. They'll dump you, amen, because light and darkness have no fellowship one with another. Young people, I want to tell you, and I have told you, and we'll tell you more, but listen, watch your choices in life, because the devil is meaning for you to open doors that you'll never get closed. The devil intends on you to experience things, see things, taste things that you'll never be able to get out of your mind and that you'll never be able to get out of your heart. Amen? Because once a weakness will always be a weakness. You can live in victory over it, amen, but if you ever get around it, you'll be tempted with it again and again and again, amen. Never compromise your weakness. Never tempt your weakness, amen. Judas, evidently, his weakness was financial, and he fell in that area. Of course, I want it to be on record right here. Judas wasn't saved. There's no indication he was saved. Yes, he was named, and he was also numbered with the disciples, but Judas wasn't saved. Amen. He went to his own place. Listen, Judas Iscariot, many people, and I'm not versed enough to be able to answer yay or nay, but Judas, they claim, will be the Antichrist. The Antichrist. You know, you'll have to talk to somebody further down the road in the prophetical world than me to get that answer. But I don't know. I just know that is alleged anyway. Right. Are you listening? How many have baggage already in your life that's hindering you spiritually? A thought life, things you've seen, people you've been around. God help us. And I've tried to preach against that. I'm not preaching isolation. I'm not trying to get you to dress in black and just wear, you know, crawl in a hole and talk to nobody but yourself. Isolation's not in the Bible, but separation is. And separation is that you're guarding your spiritual life. You're valuing your spiritual life. You're valuing what Jesus means to you. Amen. Satan specializes in putting people in your life that will pay your price and cause you to feel obligated to stay with them. Judas, even as a lost man, had a price. Dear sinner friend, if you're lost without God, do you have a price? You do. You do have a price. What are you selling out for? What are you selling out the opportunity of being saved for? Amen. Judas had a price. He had a partner, had partners with his price. See, it's not just him having to deal with his decision and him having to deal with what he said he was going to do, but now he's having to deal with people that he's obligated to. He's got an attachment to. He's got an agreement with. See, just beware of that. Beware of that. Amen? Beware of that. I can preach that till I pass out, and people still won't listen much. But the Bible still says, what is it, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupteth good manners. So there's the partners of your price. The partners of your price. All right, let's move on. Number two, let's talk about the preciousness of your price. You know why Judas took that 30 pieces of silver offer? Because that was what was precious to him. You're not going to sell Jesus out or be sold out yourself for something that don't appeal to you, something that's not of any interest to you. And the Lord knows that. And the devil knows that. That if you're going to fall, you're going to fall in the area of what's precious or what is big to you. The devil don't want spiritual things to become precious to you. He wants worldly things and fleshly things and carnal things to become precious to you. Amen? Whatever your price is reveals how cheaply you value Jesus. Whatever your price is reveals how cheaply you value Jesus. And how greatly you value your price. Judas preferred silver over the Savior. Judas chose silver over the Savior. What are you choosing over the Savior? What are you allowing to take priority and preeminence over the Savior? Popularity? Is that your price? Is that your price, young people? Popularity? You're not willing to be what God wants you to be because you're more interested? You're more interested in being popular? What about peer pressure? More interested in pleasing people and pleasing friends than you are interested in the Savior? What about promotions and pleasures and possessions and prosperity and positions? You're willing to take that over the Savior? What a thought. Judas chose silver, and not much of it at that, over the Savior. I'm amazed still yet today how little it takes to get some people out of church. I'm still amazed today how little it takes to get somebody to sell out. To sell out. Amen. And how much it takes to get people to sell out for the Lord. Not sell out the Lord, but sell out for the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money, not money, but the love of money, is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Judas was the one that held the bag. He had intentions on stealing it. Amen. And he sold out for what was precious. What's precious to you? What's big to you? You need to pay attention to that, because that'll be the appeal that the devil will come to you in. That'll be the area that the devil will try his best. The devil will try his best, ladies and gentlemen, to get you to fall in. Amen. They offered 30 pieces of silver, showing how little they valued Jesus. And Judas took the 30 pieces of silver, showing how little he valued Jesus. Amen. You'll never live a big life for a little Lord. If Jesus is small to you and little to you and not valuable to you and not important to you and not a priority and not prominent, not have the preeminence in your life, you're not going to live a big life for Him. But if the world's big to you, you'll live big life for that. Amen. Those that gave the 30 pieces didn't value Jesus, and the one that took it didn't value Jesus either. And basically, they both go together. The givers and the takers, they both go together. Amen. What Jesus meant to Judas evidently was valued at 30 pieces of silver or less. And the reason I say or less was because he sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have done that if he didn't think that was going to be some kind of a profit to him. So he thought Jesus was really less than 30 pieces of silver in value. Amen? That's right. Judas sold out what could not be bought for what could be spent. Isn't that something? Judas sold out what could not be bought with money to have in his hands what could be spent in just a matter of minutes. Isn't that the way it is, Christians? Isn't that the way it is? People that turn away their spiritual life, turn off their spiritual life, walk away from God, so to speak. Look at what they're doing it for. Some little old cheap something. Amen. God help us. That's the truth, isn't it? Amen. Your price can buy only temporal pieces of the world. Your price can only buy temporal pieces of this world, but can never buy the peace of God. Amen? How many people are not interested in the peace of God? They're interested in pieces of this world. That's right, isn't it? My soul. Listen to this. Jesus knows that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus knows that. The Word of God teaches that. And here's, listen to this. Jesus knows what your treasure is and will normally deal with it because He knows your price will come out of your treasures. Whatever you treasure is going to be the category of your price that you're willing to compromise, that you're willing to sell out. Amen. That's it, isn't it? Number three. If you're taking notes, write this down. The pain of your price. The pain of your price. We've talked about the partners of your price. We've talked about the preciousness of your price. But then let's look at the pain of your price or the regret of your price. Judas at the beginning thought that he was making a good deal. Judas at the beginning thought that his 30 pieces of silver advantage was a good deal. Was that the way it turned out? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Consider how it's going to turn out, your choices. If you get what you want, what are you going to lose? What will it be? What will the end result be in 5 to 10 years from today? He no doubt thought it was a good deal. He liked it a great deal. But after reality set in and misery set in and regret set in and it became a devastating reality to him what he had done for such a cheap price, it wasn't good. He regretted it till the day he died, and I believe is still regretting it. What's your price? What's your price? Compared to Jesus, it'll be cheap. Compared to what Jesus is worth and his value, it'll be cheap. No matter how much it is, no matter how big it is. In fact, Jesus said if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what have you profited? You've not gained nothing. If you had access to the whole world, you've not gained anything. Amen. The pain of this. Let's turn that over here to chapter 27 of Matthew's gospel. Look at verse number 3. This is after Jesus had been arrested. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And listen to the attitude of the partners. And they said, What is that to us? We don't care. That don't mean nothing to us that you betrayed innocent blood. We've got what we wanted. And you helped us attain that for 30 pieces of silver. What is that to us? See thou to it. And look what he did with the money that he thought at one time was a treasure. And the Bible said he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Oh, that 30 pieces of silver, swap out, trade, sell out, bought out. In the end, Brother Sutherland wasn't all that great a deal. In fact, it was misery and regret. He hated it. Every time he looked at that silver and probably had it in his hand or in the bag, probably put it in the bag, but he realized, my, what I sold out for such a cheap price. I betrayed the innocent blood. You know what you and I ought to feel like when we choose to live worldly and we choose to think worldly and act worldly? You know what we ought to really act like? That we're betraying the Lord. That's what we ought to really act like. We're betraying the Lord. Amen? Listen to this. Lord have mercy. I wrote this down. There's no joy found in your price. You get your price. You name your price. You agree to your price. You get into a covenant with your price. I want to hear you testify in about 5 years. Tell me if it was a blessing or not. Everybody that's ever put a price tag on their soul or upon their spiritual life has regretted it and still regrets it and will eternally regret it. Amen? Yes, sir. No doubt about that. You may think it's great at the beginning. Wow, I'm popular. Wow, man, look at me. God, I'm telling you, I'm rolling over in the blessings of God. Look at me. I'm blessed on every angle. As Brother Will has said, Brother Alfred Will has said, don't mistake the blessings of God for the approval of God. God was good to Israel, feeding them with manna, but he sure wasn't approving of them. They spent their whole time talking about wishes back in Egypt and all of that, but he still protected them. He still fed them. He still clothed them. He still helped them. You can't mistake the blessings of God for the approval of God. I've had people say, but preacher, God's been good to me. Well, you think of the verse of Scripture where it said, the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. What does that show? That shows that God is good to people that needs to repent. He's not good to them because of how they're living. He's trying to be good to them because he wants them to get right. He wants them to repent. Amen? There was no joy found in Judas's heart with the price. He betrayed the Lord. Can you imagine that? And Mark chapter 14, verse 10 and 11 tells us that those that covenanted with Judas, the Bible said, and when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. Judas said, I have sinned. When he brought that money in there, that silver, and throwed it down on the temple floor. That was a gesture. I hate what I've done. I hate it. Sinned against and betrayed innocent blood. And cast down the piece of silver in the temple and departed. Getting as far away from it as he could. And guess what? The devil convinced him. You need to kill yourself. You need to kill yourself. That's the answer. That's always been a lie of the devil and always will be. You're not an authority in your life. I remember Brother Mark saying the Lord showed him. And he told it to Sunday school there one time about that you need to tell your valleys, you're not killing me. You need to tell your problems, you're not killing me. You need to tell your pressures, you're not killing me. Why? Only God's the one that's in charge of your life. Amen? God help us on that. Judas, listen, somebody said, well, Judas, the Bible said he repented there in verse number 3. The Bible said he repented. Yeah, but the Bible said he repented himself. And he brought again the 30 pieces of silver. And yes, in verse 4, he did say, I've sinned. That is a confession. But he wasn't saying that to the Lord. He was saying that to the chief priest. Are you listening? The regret. One of the most terrible things to live with is regret. Wish I hadn't. Wish I'd have done something else. Wish I'd have did differently. But you can't back the clock up. You can't turn the calendar back. You just have to live with it. Mercy. Best thing to do is not make those decisions. Don't make those choices. Do right. Weigh the things out before you commit to it. Weigh it out before you covenant with somebody in a relationship. Amen. I've sinned. Amen. You may get what you wanted, Judas did. But he spent the rest of his life and now still in eternity regret, wishing he'd never had it. Is that something good to have when it's something that once you have it, you'll regret you've got it and wish you didn't have it? That's not something good to have, is it? That once you get it, you regret you've got it? He took the 30 pieces of silver back, throwed it on the floor. Let me say this, Lord, give me this little thought. It's much easier to get the 30 pieces of silver in your hand than it is to get the 30 pieces of silver out of your life. He got it out of his hand. He throwed it on the floor. But the dent it put in his life and the bruise and the injury and the devastation it put in his life, he died with it. It's much easier to get the 30 pieces of silver than it is to get rid of the regret. He got the 30 pieces out of his hand, but he couldn't get the misery out of his heart and out of his mind. Listen to this. Many times Jesus is involved in the reaping of what we sow. Did you get that? Many times Jesus is involved in the reaping of what we have sown. I sowed it, but Jesus is mistreated and hurt because of it. Judas sowed the betrayal, but Jesus was involved in the reaping of it. The Bible said in Matthew 26:45 that he was betrayed into the hands of sinners. Judas sowed, but Jesus was involved in the reaping. He received some of the reaping of his sowing. Allowed sinners to have their way with him. Amen. Oh, help us, Lord. Judas is still regretting his price. He realized that was of the devil. Judas is still regretting his suicide, and he knows that was of the devil. I was preaching on that just down at Brother Rochester's last week or week before last, and I just got off a thought on it, and Brother on that suicide, and Brother Rochester told me after the service, "Preacher, you don't have a clue who was sitting here. Somebody that was sitting there, and he didn't even point him out to me, but that was suicidal and all of that." I'm amazed how much of that I'm seeing. But listen to me. Stay focused. God will never put a person into a hopelessness and a despair that you're thinking the end of your life is your only answer. Amen. Amen. I mean, we've got some right here that can testify to that fact. The devil will get you to believe in a lie, convince you there's no hope. Amen. And that's the only answer. Amen. God help us to not allow people to get so close to us and problems to get so big to us that looks good to us. No, Lord help us. Amen. God help us. Judas, I guarantee if he had it to do over again, Judas would have not took the pieces of silver. Judas would have not betrayed the Lord. Judas, listen, we're talking from a practical standpoint. I know from a prophetical standpoint, you know, that was all, you know, in the works of God and all that. I don't understand all that. But I know this, from a practical standpoint, Judas betrayed the Lord. He had a price. What's your price today? As a lost person, what are you allowing? What are you allowing to stand between you and getting saved? What kind of price is on your spiritual life? What are you willing to sell out or be bought out just so you can have it? But then once you have it, will you be glad you've got it? Or will you wish you didn't have it? What's your price today? Let's all stand to our feet.